The message you're about to listen to has been offered to cause a revival in your life. Now receive the ministry of FEM Foundation.
We are going towards Thrive, and I just think that we should take the opportunity and discuss what Thrive is about and take one or two instructions about the fast. So we just be instructing about how to go about your fast. Please, can I get a 40 days program? All right. I had to go to look at the etymology of the word thrive, and it didn't start from English. You have the Scandinavian and the first word is to take hold of. Say take hold of. And then the second word is to seize. Say seize. And the third one is to flourish. That is a root word. Say seize. Say flourish. Say take hold of. So this, we declare that in 2020, you will take hold of everything God has designed for you to be. And we also declare that you will seize the things that have been stolen from you. You will also seize it. No need to take the pictures. We put it on the fasting table. So you go there and download it. All right? I need your voice. Say, I will take hold of everything the Lord has put into my destiny. And if I have lost anyone, I will seize it back. And I will flourish. That's the root word of thrive. That's what it means. So I had to look at other ways, other synonyms on thrive. Everybody, we're going to go together. One, to go, prosper, grow vigorously, develop well, bloom, blossom, do well, advance, make strides, succeed. Which of these don't you want? Mel, which of these don't you want? Which of you don't you want? If you want all of them, shout at, stand on your feet and say, I shout, I want all of them.
I want all of them!
Pastor Ben told us strive 2 months back, while we were in a pastor's meeting, he said he has been praying concerning where we're going. And the Lord told him that we're going towards strife. And some things have been happening supernaturally. My daughter, Osas, woke up one day and she was praying in tongues. And she was praying in tongues from tongues. That's one of the life group leaders in Sapley Road. She was praying in tongues. She started speaking. What she was saying was in Arabian. She didn't understand what it was. It was an Hausa word. She was saying it, but didn't know what it was. But she was also hearing, do well, do well, do well. So she went to look for someone from the north in our family here to say, what does this mean? The person told her, and it meant exactly to thrive. And yesterday, when she was preparing my slide, she saw the word do well. She said, Mama, as I was waking, it's called twilight. Twilight. In the prophet, there's something called twilight. So between your sleep and your waking up, you get an information. Does it happen? Has it happened to anybody? It's actually one of the ways that God speaks to you. It's called twilight. Between that waking up time and she's heard do well. So when she was preparing this light, she saw that one of the things about thrive is do well. I see an angel over the house and I'm hearing a trumpet shout, FEM Foundation, you will do well.
Yeah.
FEM Foundation, you will do well.
Yeah.
I'm seeing 24 angels gathered over the church. I'd like you to seize that word. I'd like you to take hold. I don't know how the service will go, but I'd like you to take hold of that word. I will do well. Nigeria will do well. My family will do well. Oh, I'd like you to mention, I'm seeing some supernatural beings inside the church. Oh my God. I'm seeing the supernatural beings as if the courtroom of heaven is open. I'm seeing God sitting upon the throne. I'm seeing 24 elders around him. I'm seeing 4 creatures and I'm seeing the sea of glass. In this court of heaven, whatever has been taken from you, I'd like you to seize it back. From today to the day of Adam, from the day of Adam till today, whatever has been stolen from your family destiny, where you're saying, I should be more than this, I should have been more. I'm seeing these creatures. He said, tell them to seize it back. He said, tell them to take hold of it. There are children hanging over Femme Foundation. Look at it. I'm seeing too many things at the same time. Femme Builders, are you here? I'm not trying to motivate you. I'm too old to try to motivate you. Femme Foundation, do well. 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 Femme Foundation, do well, do well. There are creatures, there are... Praise the Lord. Okay, for us to be able to do this thing, we're going into a period of fast. What is fasting? Fasting is receiving the announcement of His divine will and executing the written justice. God has already said, thrive, do well, prosper. Grow vigorously. He has told us all of that. So it's time for us to execute the judgment. So everything you'll be hearing from this sanctuary and things that have been spoken before, it's time to take advantage of it. He said, receiving the announcements of His, thank you, receiving the announcement of His divine will and executing the written judgment. So it's going to be a little bit of a prophetic service. The announcement of His divine will, Femme Builders, is blossom, advance, succeed, prosper, grow. That's the announcement of His divine will. Today, in the 40 days, we'll be executing it. So before the 40 days end, lift your voices and begin to execute the things that you have heard. And so, Lord, we stand on the sanctuary in front of the courts of heaven. We declare over Nigeria, Femme Foundation, our lineage, grow vigorously, develop well, blossom, make strides, advance, do well, in Jesus' precious name. So in a fast, you receive a divine mandate, you execute it. So if during those days, during the slavery time, when there was emancipation proclamation and they had proclaimed that slavery had been abolished, many of them were still in the plantation field, still laboring vigorously. They didn't hear that that has been done. They didn't hear that slavery had been abolished and they continued to slave. I prophesy over you, what the Lord has written about you shall be your experience. Amen. By the calendar of God for your destiny, you will live it out. Amen. An elephant was born and then tied to a little chair with a little chain. And the elephant grew like that. Even when the chain was removed, the elephant didn't make any effort to come out because the chain had left his leg and entered his mind. So Femme Builders, every stronghold in our minds will be destroyed. Amen. And we will do well. Amen. Daniel chapter 9 verse 2, in the first year of his reign, Daniel understood by the books. The number of years specified by the word of the Lord through Jeremiah, the prophet, that he would accomplish 70 years in the desolation of Jerusalem. Then I set my face towards the Lord God to make requests by prayer and supplication with fasting, sackcloth, and ashes. Now we have understood by the word that has gone forth through the chief servant that it is time for Femme Foundation and Nigeria to blossom, to bloom, to grow vigorously, to do well, to advance, to make strides, to succeed. We have understood that, just like Daniel. Daniel understood by books. For 70 years, they didn't celebrate the Sabbath. Why? These people disobeyed. I don't want to go into all those details. But the point is that the moment Daniel understood that the time of slavery was over, he did something. And that's what we're doing now. We now understand that the time to strive has come. We're not going to fold our hands like this and then wishing that strive will come. No. We're not going to just put our hands on like that and say, whatever will happen, will happen. If God wants us to have it, we have it. If He doesn't want us to have it, that's okay by us. That's not what we're going to do. We're going to take our destiny by our hands. He said, the violent take it by force. And what are we doing? We're going to behave like Daniel by prayer, by supplication, with fasting and with ashes, and we're praying to God. That's what all of us are getting ready to do. I saw this from Pulpit's commentary. It says, the man of prayer exerts a greater influence over national affairs than even crowned heads. So, Femme Builders, we have more influence over national affairs, over state affairs, than the politicians, than those of them who have the military power. Prayer moves the hand that moves the world. Hallelujah. Daniel on his knees was a mightier man than Darius on his throne. Daniel was in the service of the King of Kings, was admitted to the audience chamber of the Most High, and received the announcement of the divine will. Ladies and gentlemen, we are in the service of the King of Kings. In fact, Pastor announced today that the courtroom of heaven has opened. And when I sat down here, I saw so many things. I actually saw Revelation chapter 4 repeated in front of us. We have been admitted into the chamber of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And from this place, we can overturn things. If things are going to happen physically, someone must take charge for it to happen spiritually. We have more power because we have power with the King. Listen, everything that you're ever going to do today in your world, everything that our nation is ever going to be, is already written. That's Psalm 47 to 8. And then Psalm 139 verse 16. He said, my unformed parts, before ever they were formed, they were before you. So all the kingdom exploits you're ever going to do, the number of years you're ever going to live, whatever Nigeria is going to be, is already written down. Now we have entered the courts of heaven, and the courts of heaven says it's strife. So we're going to take power with God and begin to overturn things through prayer and fasting. What is fasting? Very simple. Let's read the scripture. It says, when they came to the crowd, a man came up to Jesus, falling on his knees before him and saying, Lord, that's Matthew chapter 17 from verse 14, have mercy on me. Have mercy on my son, for he's a lunatic and he's very ill. For he often, I want you to watch the word, he often falls into the fire and often falls into the water. I brought him to your disciples and they could not cure him. And Jesus answered and said, you unbelieving and perverted generation, how long will I be with you? How long shall I be with you? Bring him to me. Verse 17. And Jesus rebuked him, and the demon came out of him, and the boy was cured at once. Then the disciples said to Jesus privately and said, why could we not drive him out? What are the things you have been trying to drive out you couldn't drive out? He said, often he falls onto the water, often he falls onto the fire. What is it that have been happening often, 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 often? What is it have been seen? Have been seeing the same thing often? And he said to them, because of the littleness of your faith, for truly I say to you, if you have faith the size of a mustard seed, you will say to this mountain, move from here and there, and it will move, and nothing will be impossible to you. But this kind, say this kind. I can't hear you. Say this kind. Does not go except by prayer and fasting. Friends, there are some things that will never change except with prayer, fasting, and faith. There are some things that will never change. How many of us in this church have ever had any season, any time in your life where you were led into an intentional fast, an intentional prayer? Not a corporate prayer or corporate fast week. On your own, you just sense that Lord was calling you to a season of intimacy, to a season that something is about to happen. Begin to pray. Those times come. If those times, you don't have those times, this is an opportunity for you to start laying it as a practice. Fasting is not a bad thing. Fasting is not punishment. Pastor Ben has not looked and said, I want to punish all my church members, all family builders, all my family members, I want to put them through. No. What happens in the fasting is that at times God wants to say, come a while, let me talk to you. I want to talk to you. I want to go into deep intimacy with you. Then he'll call you to a moment of fast. Some other times he has seen ahead, some things are coming. He wants to prepare you ahead. So he brings you into a period of fast so that you will be prepared for that time. Just imagine that you hear, God forbid, that tomorrow there's going to be a flood, and the flood is going to be so high it will take out all the houses in a particular region. What will you do today? What will you do today, friends? Talk to me. If you hear that a flood is coming around the area where you live, God forbid, and it's going to be a huge flood that will take away the houses, what will you do? Everybody will do something. That's what fasting is. The Lord is preparing you. Maybe there are days ahead. Maybe there are going to be struggles ahead. Maybe there are hardships that's coming ahead. Maybe he's calling you into something. So he prepares you. Say, I want you to fast. Fasting is meant to be a time of preparation, to prepare you for the plan of God, to also prepare you to abort the plans of the enemy against your life. That's what fasting is about. And it's not something you joke with. If it is something that's going to bring you to a preparation, it means that you have to fast. If you know there's going to be struggle ahead, everybody, you have to fast. Fasting is preparation. Get ready for something good. Now, you know, sometimes when people are feeling that God is calling them to a place of intimacy, they think it's a call for ministry. Sometimes it's not a call for you to come and be a pastor or for you to come and open your own church. Maybe someone says, I'm feeling God closer and closer to me. It looks as if God wants me to start my own church. Or God wants me. No, it doesn't necessarily mean that. Sometimes it's for intimacy. Sometimes it is for preparation. Fasting is a practice Christians undergo. Let me ask you a question. Are you a practicing Christian? When I was in the Roman Catholic Church, when they want to give communion, they will say this communion is only for practicing Catholics. And I will explain what they mean by that. If you're a Catholic, there is confession of sins. You go to Reverend Father for confession. That's a practicing Catholic. A practicing Catholic, you have done your Holy Communion, you have done your baptism, you have done your Holy Communion, you have done your confirmation. You are involved in what the Catholic Church is doing. That's a practicing Catholic. So you take communion in the Catholic Church because you're supposed to do your confession. I'm not teaching Catholic doctrine, but that's what it means to be a practicing Catholic. Then a practicing Muslim is a Muslim who prays 5 times a day. In fact, every Muslim have this agenda. They will want to go for holy pilgrimage at where? Mecca. A practicing Buddhist, a practicing all other religion. How do we know a practicing Christian? I don't know whether it's Pastor Peter that was sharing this with us, that a man, that he discovered that most times when people have a form, they have committed a crime, and you say religion, many of them put Christianity. A lot of us who say we are Christians are not really Christians. Because if you're a Christian, I was reading a book, The Celebration of Discipline by Richard Foster. He said, the things we must train ourselves to do frequently and regularly to grow in our discipleship. There are things a Christian, a practicing Christian must do regularly. A practicing Christian must do frequently in order to grow in your discipleship. We take it for granted that once you give your life to Christ, that's all. No. Once you give your Christ to Christ, life starts. How do I mean? When you give your life to Christ, so many things will start happening. You have to intentionally begin to do exercises that will make you grow in that faith. A man was sharing with me, say he has a son. Okay, I have a son, Jehoshaphat. You know, rain has been falling for almost 1 month. When I come back from work, I see he has come to the prayer room, he has played, he has done his chores. He said, Mommy, I'm going for practice. I said, but the rain is falling. Are you going under the rain? He said, we play under the rain. Whether the rain is falling or not, we have to play. And I know that he's serious about what he's doing. He said people even play under the snow. So you're not going to say, snow, there was snow, I'm not going to play. So if you're a practicing Christian, whether it is convenient or not, you will do your Christian discipline. If the rain or the sun will have to stop you from your Christian discipline, then you are not serious about it. I see Pastor Ben, he practically reads throughout. Then I started teasing, I said, you have read to the point that all the hair in front of your hair, if I knew the hair was going to be like, maybe I should have considered, maybe you need to get a wig. Why is he reading? I must fulfill my destiny. Every Christian must know there are disciplines that we must practice every day that show that you're a Christian. If you don't practice those disciplines and you don't intentionally work on yourself, you will never be a better person. And I want to show you some of those disciplines. I'm seeing from this book, The Celebration of Discipline. There is corporate discipline, what we do together as Christians. Number one, confession of sins. The Bible says, confess your sins to God, but confess your sins to one another. Listen, covered wounds don't heal well. If there is a secret sin you are involved in, you must find someone who is reliable, someone who is trustworthy, who understands what to do with those sins, to confess it to the person so that he can stop. Until you air it, it will never stop. That's what we do as Christians. That's how the Catholic Church started confessing to the Reverend Father. If you keep hiding something you know you are doing that is capable of destroying your destiny tomorrow, listen, when you hide it, it's not hidden. Anything you hide is not hidden. Just by way of analogy, something that you did 20 years ago, 30 years ago, can show up just a few days. If you find someone, this is a corporate discipline. The second one is worship. Worship is not optional. Attending church service is not optional. The Bible says, do not give up the gathering together of yourselves, as some of you are in the custom of doing. Now, many of us will not miss Obosi Women Association meeting. You will not miss, what's the one they do? Old school. They are gathering together. Old school reunion. You won't miss old school reunion. Have you noticed that if we're going through challenges, the first thing you sacrifice is church? Every other thing is intact. You won't miss going to gist with your friends. You won't miss going to the cinema. But when it has to do with church, Jesus did not set up the church for it to be optional. Because he said they met in the temple and then they met at the homes. One of the biggest and busiest leaders of the first world nation, David, he said, I was glad when they say, let us go to the house of the Lord. The Bible said, I was envious of the prosperity of the wicked. Then I entered the temple. There are some things that happen when we come to church. You can't explain it. It can't be put into words. There are some things that happen when we come to church together. It's a corporate discipline. Another discipline is the discipline of celebration. We celebrate ourselves and then we celebrate God. And then we receive self-esteem. We feel loved. And then the next one is seeking and giving of advice. Church should be a place where we come to get godly counsel. Unfortunately, some of us in church give others very bad advice. A man tells you that he's having a challenge with his wife. Say, your wife, slap her. When you slap her twice, she will know that you are the man. Ungwaninye any advice. You are giving her advice. Says that this boy is trying to sleep with me. No, they finish. You know they finish. Just give him the thing will still remain. Am I talking to someone? That's an advice a pastor gave someone. The pastor said, please, someone is trying to sleep with me in the marketplace, in this office. What should I do? He said, the thing, no, they finish now. If you give it to him, will he finish? It won't finish. It will still be there. That's advice. We are supposed to come to church and I receive good advice from you. You receive good counsel from me. That's what the church is supposed to be. If you don't know how to give advice, keep quiet. Instead of saying, if you don't get money, hide your face. Just say, if you don't get good advice, keep quiet. You can never regret your silence. A young lady went to meet a sister in church, a mother in Israel. Say, this boy, say he wants to marry, but he said, I must sleep with him. The girl said, men are scarce. Oh, men are very scarce. Just sleep with him at least. You know, say you don't catch him. He actually slept with the boy and the boy left. Church is supposed to be a place. Look at your neighbor. Say, don't give me bad advice again. Tell your neighbor. Some people are not talking. Say, that bad advice you gave me, I'm forgiving you. Don't give me another bad one. The second discipline is the discipline of the outward discipline. I've shown you the inward discipline, the outward discipline. The outward discipline has to do with simplicity. We're supposed to be very simple. Stop complicating your life. You're not supposed to. A stressed out, tense Christian with short fuse is not a testimony. We're supposed to be very simple. Don't complicate your life. Christ was a very simple person. The second one is solitude. You must have one day a week where you step out. I just want to spend time with God. Can be 1 hour, can be 2 hours. It's a Christian discipline. The Catholic Church, they don't have this. If you go to Catholic centers, there are places where people go for retreat. You go to that place, they won't see anybody who will cook better fried rice for you to eat. is a place of solitude. They just go there and just go and pray. Of course, I was trained in the Catholic Church. There are several monasteries. In fact, the monastery at Ewu, you can go there. So Pastor Ben is building an event center that can form as a retreat center. You are here, they look. And then the next discipline is submission. Submission is becoming a word that is very, very attacked. Because we are submitted to Jesus, he says, submit yourself one to another. It's a discipline we follow together as Christians. These are things we practice. We submit ourselves to the leadership. We submit. I no go agree. No be here. We are not here as activists. We are here. Submission. That's one of the disciplines we practice. And then service. You serve me, I serve you. All of us serve each other. Do you know that a Christian, a disruptive Christian, is not a testimony at all? It's not a testimony. So the third discipline is the discipline, inward discipline, and that's where we're going to. Meditation. Meditation is to think about, picture it, picture the scriptures, paraphrase it, put your name in it, then apply it. You sit down, you take it, you turn it in your mind. They actually teach you the act of meditation in FDA. This is a Christian discipline that the New Age have carried. So many of us have dumped it. One of the ways you look like Jesus is meditation. There's a difference between meditation and Bible study. They are not the same thing. The difference is that you have a paper you're writing on, and then prayer. Prayer is a discipline of the Christian church. So when you pray, when you fast. The next one is fasting. I've talked about study. These are inward disciplines that anybody who says, I am a Christian, must practice. So let's go to the one that has to do with fasting. How many people love to fast? Fasting is the least understood, least. And fasting is the one that is all practiced incorrectly toward Christendom. I have an auntie. She begins her fast. She will tell all of us, I'm fasting, you know. And then after a little while, the husband will say something. You have spoiled my fast. She will stop the fast and go and eat. And eat. Say, I have planned this fast. I've been planning this fast for the past 3 months. You have just spoiled the fast. Then she will start the fast again tomorrow. And then as she's having that fast tomorrow, the son will do something. She will shout and shout and say, hey, you have destroyed my fast. She will start the fast. Eventually, for 2 years, she won't do any fast at all. So I said, auntie, why are you behaving like this? He said, I decided to fast. My son was just jumping from one table to another, one chair to another. Before I shouted, the fast is spoiled. So I started another one fast. So let's find out how we're going to practice fasting. John Wesley said, I am persuaded that a Christian who has not understood the need to fast and does not practice fasting or backslide just as surely as a Christian who understood the need to pray will not pray. If you don't fast, you will backslide. If you don't pray, you will backslide. Two of them are this. He said, when you pray and when you fast. Jonathan Edwards said, so little is said about fasting, yet it seems to me is a duty that all professing Christians should practice. There are so many occasions of both a spiritual and temporal nature that do properly require it. I hope you know that you can fast for several reasons. You can fast for spiritual purpose. You can fast for carnal purpose. Those of you who practice keto, they say intermittent fasting. So you fast from so-and-so so that you can lose weight. Some of you can fast for cosmetic reasons. You can fast for beauty. So fasting is something every practicing Christian must go. So what is fasting? Abstaining from food and pleasure. Everybody will go. One to go. I want to show you what Daniel said in Daniel chapter 10. He said, I ate no pleasant food, no meat or wine came into my mouth, nor did I anoint myself at all till 3 whole weeks were fulfilled. Some of us say we are fasting. I say, what are you fasting on? I say, I'm fasting on meat pie. I'm fasting on meat pie. So you do every other thing, I'm fasting on meat pie. The question is, how does fasting on meat pie draw you closer to God. Because that place where Jesus was talking about, oh, you are faithless and you are perverted. Faithless means you have disconnected from God. Perverted means you are connected to the world. Fasting disconnects you from the world and connects you to God. So if you say you are fasting, they say, what are you fasting on? Say, I'm fasting on wearing tie. How does wearing tie draw you closer to God? What, imagine they say, Pastor, okay, are you fasting? I say, what am I fasting? I say, I'm fasting on Eba. I don't eat Eba at all. I don't eat Eba at all. So what are you fasting on? You are those things that are pleasant, that give you leisure. Some of us is gist. Some of us, if you don't gist, your mouth will be doing like so. If you cut off that gist, you will have helped you. Okay, let's move on because of time. I want to show you that other religion fast. Buddhism, they fast during Yom Kippur, and they are fasting now. Tishuva. They are fasting now, 11th of August. They started their own fast today. So you can go and research and find out what they are fasting about. Your brothers and sisters in the other religion, Buddhism, they fast. Hinduism, they fast. Baha, they fast. Islam, in fact, they're even going to do Salah tomorrow and next. They fasted. So telling you to fast is not that we hate you so much, we want to put you on a stronger strike so you understand fasting. There are examples of fasting in the Bible. I won't have time to read them. In Daniel chapter 6, verse 18, there was a fast. The king went to his palace and spent the night fasting. This was when Daniel had been thrown into the prison, into the den of lion. The king took out time to fast. Remember Colenius, he had spent time, it was why he was fasting. He's not a king, he's not a Christian, no. Wasn't a Christian that he got a revelation. And then Ezra chapter 8, you remember when, I think it was Nehemiah, it was Ezra, they had boasted to the king, our God will help us, our God will protect us. So just, we want to take permission to go. For them to take on that, they had to take a fast. You can read it when you get home. They had to take a fast. Because when you boast, you must now back up your testimony with action. So they went on a fast. And then during the Day of Atonement, God told them that they must fast. In Leviticus chapter 23 to 29, 23, 26, 29, God told them they must fast. And then even King Ahab, who is a very wicked man, God has put curses on him. He fasted and aborted the curse. We'll discuss all of this subsequently. 1 Kings chapter 2, verse 21 to 23. He used fast to abort the judgment that was coming upon him. He fasted. Examples of fasting in the Bible. Esther, all of you remember Esther, that he said they should fast for me. In 72 hours. Okay, I'm too fast. Let me get the scriptures for you so you can spend it. The first one is Daniel chapter 6, verse 18. Acts of the Apostles chapter 10, verse 30. I said I would drop it for you. I will drop it for you. Ezra chapter 8, 21 to 23. Leviticus chapter 23, 26 to 29. 1 Kings chapter 21, 21 to 26. I will drop it on our, we'll have it on our website so you can go and pick it. And then Ezra chapter 4, verse 16 was where. Then Jonah also, when God said he was going to kill, destroy Nineveh, they were pagans. Everything fasted. Animal, their dog, their donkey, their fowl, everything fasted. And God aborted the fast. There are also other places in the Bible. Judges chapter 20, Daniel chapter 10. So I will leave it for you in the website so you can get it. I'm using all these scriptures to show you that fasting is normal. It is what a practicing Christian must do. So why should we fast? Fasting is how you subdue the flesh. How does that happen? If you go home and check Romans chapter 7, I want you to show something. He said, the good I want to do, I will to do. I don't. It is the one I don't want that I find myself doing. Now look at how it is. This is This is your spirit. This is your soul. This is your flesh. This is the throne. I can't draw. This is your spirit. This is your soul. This is your body. What fasting does is it reduces the power of the flesh to dominate the spirit. That's what fasting does. When you are fasting, the flesh's power to dominate you, to instruct you, is being reduced. So you connect more to God. You disconnect from the world. When you're fasting, this one is bigger. This one is smaller. And your soul will only take direction, instruction from the big guy. Okay, I used to use human beings to practice this. Can I get big, small, smallest? The tallest man in the church, the shortest man, and the medium man. Okay? Very tall. Oh, sorry, I think you should come. That's this, okay. Also, welcome. Come this way. Come this way. Okay, here's the deal. I need to leave some instructions for you. This is the body. Come this way. This is the body. This is the soul. Come. Come this way. Come this way. Come this way. This soul will only take instruction from the bigger guy. If your flesh, your body is this big because you have given it to the lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and pride of life. The Bible says three things are in the world: lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and pride of life. Pride is saying, I am in charge. If your body is so connected to the world, this person will never take instruction from your spirit. Your spirit will look this small. Your body will look this big. And this soul only responds to the big man. So whenever temptation comes, this person will win. Whenever temptation comes, the body will win. But if, as you are fasting, the body will be getting smaller, come down, my son. The spirit will be getting bigger. Come this way. Come this way. Olga, come to the other side. Whenever there is time to fast, you know who he will listen to? He won't listen to this guy, because this guy is a small guy. He will listen to this guy. He's a big guy. So what fasting is doing is, it keeps subduing the flesh so that your spirit will be in charge. And your spirit is connected to God so you can get instructions from God. Praise the Lord. Back to my slide. The next thing fasting does, it helps you to strengthen the spirit. It helps you to, the more you fast, the bigger your spirit man is. And remember, what happens is that this is your spirit, this is God. Your spirit is connected to God. The healthier your spirit, the faster and easier for you to take instructions from God. And remember that you are a spirit who is living on this earth. You are not a flesh living on the world. You are actually a spirit trying to learn how to live upon the earth. So your spirit man has to be healthy enough to take instructions from God. So I repeat the exercise with those people again. So here is your spirit. This is your body. Your body, your spirit is supposed to take instructions from God if it is strong. If it is not strong, it will take instructions from the world. This is spiritual technology I'm teaching you now. So when you are fasting, what you're actually doing is that you're strengthening your spirit to take instruction from God. And listen, if you don't do something, you must commit to something else. If you say you won't do this, you must commit to this. Nature hates vacuum. Praise the Lord. Okay, fasting helps you to discern the will of God. We'll talk about all of that during the period of fast. Fasting helps us to be united as Christians. So let's find out some instructions that will help you during this fast. Please, fasting is not for salvation. Say, I want to give my life to Christ. You fast. No. You don't use fasting to get born again. Getting born again is a gift from heaven. Fasting is not capable of making you to be saved. Two, You don't use fasting to maneuver the will of God. Maybe you wanted to marry Jehoshaphat. Jehoshaphat refused. Jehoshaphat have not said anything. Then you now go into a period of fast so that God will now turn Jehoshaphat's mind to marry you. They don't use fasting for that. Am I talking to someone? You don't use fasting, say, you have submitted a document. I want to manipulate the person's mind. No. Fasting is for the will of God to come to it. And fasting is not something you use to boast. It's not a spiritual badge of honor that I say, do you know me? Do you know who I am? Do you know how long I fasted for 84 days? Don't let me lay a curse on you. I have a relation that they ordained a pastor and they didn't explain to him what it means to be a pastor. So if you do anything to him, say, I just finished fasting, I will lay curses. Fasting is not what you use to brag. No, it's not what you use to lay curses on people. Fasting is what you are doing with God. Am I talking to someone? Sometimes Christians use it to intimidate others. Say, let me go and finish this fast. When I finish coming this fast, I will come and use that fasting mat and curse you. They don't use fasting for such things. We need to do the disclaimers, all right? So guidelines, take these two or three guidelines. There is a call for fasting in Firm Foundation now. Everybody say call. Everybody say call. So we are fasting corporately. But let me now ask everybody, in your own life, do you sense that God is asking you to fast this period? Because if you don't sense that God is asking you to fast, you just simply say, now the pastor, Reverend Ben, say, may we fast. Nobody say, I won't fast at all. The fasting no day in my mind at all. It's Reverend Ben that said we should fast. If you don't also sense that God is asking all of us to fast, then the fast won't benefit you. Yes, we are fasting corporately, but also as a person, are you sensing that God is asking us to fast? All right? So that's how to begin your fast. That's some guidelines. We must start with a clear goal. We must have a specific goal and a desired outcome. And the goal of our fast this time is thrive. Everybody say thrive. Everybody say thrive. Shout it like you mean it. Thrive. You sound so boring. Thrive. Why are you fasting? All of you this way, why are you fasting? Beautiful. So, we're going to ask the Holy Spirit for guidance on how to go about this fast. It's a time to pray daily. If you look at your prayer book, they divided it into prayer stations, watches. There is watch of the morning, watch of the afternoon. The four watches are divided there. So not when you pray your morning prayer, you go about Arabanko, and then you come back and say, time to finish. No, it's not why we're fasting. So I have prayed my morning prayer, and then you go into... No, we are fasting for 40 days. So we must have a goal. And you must also say, at the end of this fast, this is what I'm trusting God for. You can take that goal, put it as a timer on your phone. It will beep at every prayer watch. There are three hours, every prayer watch, so that you will know what to do. All right? Why are you fasting? Some of us may be fasting for financial breakthrough. Some of us may be fasting for spiritual restoration. Some of us may be fasting. Whatever reason, you must write it down somewhere. The third thing you need to do, you must prepare spiritually. The first one is that you must sense a call. The second one, you must be clear about what the fasting is. The third one is you must prepare yourself spiritually. Please begin this fast with confession of your sins. Repent. Repent on your own self. Repent on behalf of your husband. Repent on behalf of your children. Repent on behalf of your nation. Ask the Lord to forgive you. Pastor Ben just did that one for us this morning. Ask the Lord to forgive you. And then use this opportunity to surrender your life to Jesus. Lord, I surrender all. I reject worldly desires. How do you prepare? You repent. How do you prepare? You ask for forgiveness. People who have offended you, people you have offended. How do you prepare? It's a time for total surrender to Jesus. Then you must now choose the type of fast and how long you're going to fast. All right? Let's find out the types of fast. Then we have the Daniel fast. Then we have the Black fast. There are other types of fast. Telemundo. Premier. My flatmates. The Johnsons. These are things you will fast on. Say you will fast on. In fact, I have a friend that anywhere she is, there is a particular program they do on Z-World. Anywhere she is, she may miss food, miss service. But that program, when they ask, I say, come, this thing, did they use it to do juju? Did you use it to subscribe in occult? Say television. If you like, say. If you like, don't say. Say premier. Are they playing anyone now? Are they playing anyone? It won't kill you now. Arsenal, your brother is not playing inside. Even if your brother is playing, he's playing for his own money. Your own playing for entertainment. There will always be premier. Social media. There are some of us, they live, I wonder whether they live inside social media. Some of us, before church finishes, you will see them, they have appeared on social media, the way God appeared. Am I saying your friend? They have appeared there. Fast on that. There are other types of fast. Now, I'm not saying you can't have your email. If your email has to do with your job, you need to check your email. But after, outside that, add it to what you... Telephone. WhatsApp video. WhatsApp call. Facebook call. Fast on it. Unnecessary talk. There are some of us, at the end of the service, they engage themselves in small life group at the car park. That small life group can continue, the entire service is over. Some of us, your own life group is at Mama BC's Biafalo. Reduce it. You are fasting. Listen, you will forget. By the time you gist from Benue to you gist Fulani Herdsmen, you have forgotten that you are fasting. Even when you want to start a fast again, you won't know where to begin. These are things to observe. Okay, so we're on 40 days of sun striving. What is our goal? Redemptive destiny of Nigeria. Unity of the body. Courtroom activities. We are preparing for 2020. I used to hear this 2020. Yabia Diala. I want to know what is inside it. Vision 2020. So many things have been set at this 2020. 2020 is following us behind now. I want to even see what it is. Is even a, I don't know whether it happened to any of you. There have been this 2020 while I, let this 2020 even come. Someone told me that Jesus will come 2020. I said, where did you read it? He said, that's why I'm not making too many preparations in my life. Oh, Jesus is coming 2020. Yeah, if Jesus comes, you'll be ready. So prepare. Becoming the best you were created to be. These are the things we are fasting about. Personal spiritual discipline. These are the things we're preparing about, okay? So, I'm rounding up by showing you three areas that you're going to include in your fast. Say three areas. So, anything you remove, you must replace it with something. Let's go to the first area. Physical, social, financial. Let's find out what physical means. Change in diet. So, some of you may decide to take Daniel fast. In Daniel fast, you're going all vegetarian. You're not eating meat. You're not eating suya. You're not eating catfish. You are just eating vegetables. Say vegetables. And then many people have said that Daniel fast is raw food fast. Everything you're going to eat for these 6 weeks is going to be raw. Nothing cooked. Yes. The second kind of fast is full fast, where you drink only water or juice for the 40 days. The third fast is an option. No option. What's the problem? It's an option. The third option is no food from 6 a.m. to 6 p.m. or 6 p.m. to 6 a.m. Now, because just a disclaimer. If you're fasting between 6 p.m. and 6 a.m., you are praying, You are praying. There are four watches in that time. So it's not that, thank God I'm sleeping. By the time I wake up, the fast is over. That is not what it is. That is not what it is. Because just a disclaimer. It means that this book, the four watches, you'll be awake every 3 hours. to pray the watch. In fact, I have a son who's he just slept. I wake up, I say, "Mom, what's the time? Is it 6 a.m.? Is this a.m.?" I say, no, I'm still sleeping. I wake by 6. You'll be deceiving yourself if you think that they set it in the middle of the night for you to sleep. So that you will know. You will pray 6 to 9. You will sleep. Option 2. 30 minutes of physical exercise. 1 hour in the prayer room. Either 7 a.m. to 1 p.m. or 5 p.m. to 6 p.m. every weekday. I'm aware that the areas have their agreements. Okay. The last 3 days of this fast, all those who participated in the physical fast challenge, because again, and listen very carefully. In the last 3 days, you will only drink water. Yes, you will only drink water. All the money that you're supposed to have used to eat. No, you won't buy it. You won't use it. You will put it as offering. Those of you who are deciding to take this fast, please consult your doctors before you start. The last 3 days, between the 16th and the 18th, Mevina, you'll only drink water. Praise the Lord. Amen. Okay, let's look at the social challenge, social option challenge. Change in social interactions. You will eliminate social media, Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, Snapchat, WhatsApp status. Pastor Ben, some of your daughters, they will be twerking. And when they finish, they put it on social on their status. I say, this person they confirm foundation. Twerking is removed. Changing of WhatsApp status for social reasons. I hear web player is removed. Please eliminate television. Going to movies, cable, satellite, movie theaters, Iroko TV. You can decide to choose all of that. That's for social option. Social option 2. Find a prayer partner with whom to pray daily. Okay, the challenge, for those of you who choose this, I want to show you your challenge. During the final 3 days of the fast, you will participate in 3 days silent meditation. No unnecessary conversation. No unnecessary phone chat. No unnecessary noise. Even when you have music, background music. Financial option. Eliminate spending money on non-essential daily routine purchases. Soda, recharge cards, Ija bomb. Now you can't know the other ones. Some things that we are buying that are not necessary. Option 2. Eliminate option 2. Have I given you option 2? So option 1. Eliminate spending money on non-essentials. Eliminate spending money on extra clothing. I know many of you are preparing for cure. We have, please, because a disclaimer again. Some of the clothes you wore last cure, we told you to preserve them. Gather them again. Cure has come. Yeah, gather them. Cure, Pastor, isn't it? Some of us will spend money. Some people this way, I don't mention it. They will spend money and buy uniforms 3 times a, and they won't have money for offering of cure. I used to look at them. I raised hands this way. I didn't go this way. Some of the people who stand like this, who stand to welcome us, who stand, they will be changing clothes. Change, please don't change. The ones you have bought, just organize them. We are putting the money together to give to God. If you look at me, I look you back. The financial challenge. 3 days financial discernment. The bottom line. Listen carefully. Everybody, don't smile. Frown now. Frown. Because what I want to say will make you frown. So all the money that you're supposed to have used to buy suya that you didn't buy, to buy matching clothes and hair. Please, sisters, there is no purchasing of new weave on. Yes, you have before. You have before. Whether you ride me or ride, I'm not riding on. Someone gave me, dashed me, which is it, weave on or the one you wear it, the wig. I went to check how much. I discovered that you can use it to buy land. I said, to we on the hair? Please, disclaimer of hair. At the end of this fast, September 18th, please, all the money that we have been, you substituted, we're going to be bringing them as offering. We're going to be bringing them as offering. The one you're supposed to have used to eat 3 times a day, you bring that 1 naira, we're putting them, we'll put the thrive offering. At the end of the offering, we're going to use it to host the city, and then we're going to use it to run the courses that we run on behalf of our city. So I want you to begin to check. Some of you, some things will leave your wardrobe, some clothes, some shirts, some shoes. Some of them you just bought them, but you know that you bought them for someone else. When you were buying them, you bought them for yourself. But as I'm speaking now, the Lord is even showing you that shoe. He's even showing you in the church who the shoe should go to. So we're going to put all the money together. We're going to use it to host our city, and then we're going to use it to do the things that the Lord has told us to do. Amen? Amen. Rise on your feet.
Thank you for listening to this message. For other life transforming messages, please call 0805-1028-787 or 0706-969-6499 or visit our website at www.femfoundationng.org.